before during this time, but Pastor Nathan and I got to talking, and of course we're going through Ephesians, and we are studying verse by verse, and we've been doing this for a couple years now, and this morning I'm going to be preaching to the children, and so it's very important that our children listen. And I hope that this can be a blessing and a help to you. Now, one of the things that we do at our church is we preach the Bible, and that is our main emphasis. As much as I'd love to be able to entertain you and give you 10 good jokes right at the very beginning of the message and give a story and an illustration and maybe throw a verse or two in there and at the end give a real stirring, emotional invitation, which would cause everybody to come and just want to get right with God, that's not my method. My method is to take the Bible. Now, if I can come up with an illustration that makes my point, or am I able to do something that would help you, that would be great. But let me just say, what we want to do is we want to know what God's Word says. So that's why we're very heavy on looking at verses and say, okay, turn to this and turn to that and study this and study that. Because I want you to understand, as Pastor Patrick this morning in Sunday school was talking about the inspiration of the Bible, which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that what I want to do is that you would walk out of here saying, boy, this is what God is saying. And the only way that I can know how to make sure I'm speaking to you what God is saying is to speak from His Word. So I want you to be aware of that. So let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And as I speak to the children, as well as you adults can listen in on this as well, we will next week deal with how parents are to respond to children. But this morning, I want to preach on the child's submission to parents. Now, I want to introduce this section because this has been something we've been doing on an ongoing basis in the last several months. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bible, okay, look at verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, in the King James Version, I'm quoting from, but as what? Wise. Okay, so we are to be walking cautiously and carefully, not as fools, but as wise, considering our time, because our time is short. I guess I've just been thinking about this a lot. As I get older, I think, man, it was just yesterday, it seemed like, that we came to Manhattan, Kansas. It seemed like just yesterday that I met this person. How many years ago did I meet you, Bayless? 30 years, yeah. I find it very amazing. I'm thinking time is short, and the Bible says you better redeem the time. You know, buy back the time. Time is valuable. Every one of us has the same amount of time. Don't be unwise, he says in verse 17, but consider the will of the Lord. Now, think about that. We are to walk in God's will. We hear much about that in many ways, but the will of the Lord is what God purposes and what God wants. So, we need to walk that way. Now, how do you do that? Well, you need divine help. And the divine help you get is spoken of in verse 18. It's through the Spirit of God. Now, this is God the Spirit who enables us to do what we need to do. And so be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we preached on all of this, but I want you to see the connection to where I'm going with this. So we find here that if we are filled with the Spirit, it's going to affect three things, according to Ephesians chapter 5. Number one, it is going to affect your music. It says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Secondly, it's going to affect your attitude. Instead of a grumpy, complaining attitude, it will affect our thankfulness. Verse 20. Giving thanks always. And not only will it affect our music and our attitude, but it does have an impact on our relationships. And our relationships, they are to be under the submission of the Spirit. So that's why you could technically see here by way of application in chapter 5, verse 22, and I hope you're following with me, all the way over to chapter 6, verse 9. Now, we've been talking about Bible study in Sunday school. I just want to understand that chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 9 is the application of how the Holy Spirit affects your relationship. It affects your marriage. Chapter 5, verse 22 through 32. And so you could really label this message on the husbands and wives. You could talk about Spirit-filled wives and Spirit-filled husbands. Because a Spirit-filled wife is going to behave the way he mentions here. A Spirit-filled husband is going to behave the way he mentions here. Now, we will get to chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 in dealing with our relationships at work and how we should respond to those who have authority over us, as well as how those who have authority should treat those who are under their authority at work. But this morning, we're, as I mentioned, dealing with the parenting part of relationships. So we could technically say that in verses 1 through 3, this is what a Spirit-filled child looks like. Now, if you'll notice here, we find that a Spirit-filled child, verse 1, a verse that many parents say, man, I gotta make sure my child understands this one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, verse 1. Why? For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that, verse 3, it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, if you recall, when we were in verse 21, we saw that these relationships, it says, whether you are in a place of authority or in a place of submitting to authority, we ought to all be submitting ourselves one to another. Now, when we talk about children obeying their parents, let me be very clear here. This does not mean that children need to obey their parents when their parents are commanding them to do something that is against Scripture. I get very irritated with the fact that sometimes authoritarian parents will sometimes say to their children, you got to obey me, so I want you to lie for me. No, you don't have to lie for your parents, young people. Or if if your parent says, I want you to steal this, you are not commanded to obey your parents. If they ask you or command you to do something that goes directly against the Bible. And again, because we have young people here, I want to be as discreet as possible. But be very, very careful when a parent asks you to touch you in places you should not be touched. So I am not wanting to in any way suggest that obedience has it allows a parent who is abusive to hurt their children. All right? But we do have to understand this whole idea biblically. What does it mean for a parent or for a child to submit to their parents? I'm going to give you three main points here. The first main point is the magnitude of a child's submission to parents. This is huge. This is not some little manipulative way that parents get their kids to do what they want. So let's just use the Bible to get my kids to behave. No, this is bigger than this. There's a magnitude behind this. Secondly, we want to look at the meaning of a child's submission to parents. So what do these verses mean? See, as I told you, we want to know what the Bible says here. And then the third thing we'll see is the motivations that God gives us as to why a child should submit to their parents. So, let's pray and let's ask God to give the pastor wisdom to shut up when he needs to because he doesn't want to go too long, and to speak up when he needs to because there's a lot to say. So let's pray. Father, help us to listen to your word, guide and direct us, help us to understand these truths that we have in your word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Many years ago, I was helped by a message by Pastor Mark Minnick, and I've quoted him a lot in these family series. So there's going to be some applicational quotes I want to give you as we go through this. But I want you to see the magnitude. So when it tells a child to obey their parents, we have to understand that the Word of God demands obedience to God-ordained authority at every level. Now, that obviously changes, right? Once a child leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his spouse. So, as I think I heard Patrick say, parenting at adults is at a different level than parenting as children. But it is fascinating that the Word of God demands obedience. And you'll see, for instance, we're to obey government. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, tells us, let every soul be, you know the word? Okay, a couple of you know the word. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, because the powers that be are ordained of God. And that's speaking in the context of government, so which means that we have to obey our authorities, whether it be a policeman, or we have to obey, say, for instance, the president or the Supreme Court or the laws of the land or whatever it may be. We have certain things to obey. The Bible also tells us that there is such a thing as pastoral authority. Now, that's always very difficult for me to preach on that because it almost sounds like I want to have people under my thumb. But there is a sense in which we're told in Hebrews 13:17 that obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Because they watch for your souls. So there is such a thing as pastoral authority. And so there is that authority. All who God puts in authority is to be obeyed. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, whether it be to the king as supreme or as unto governors. And maybe we could also say even teachers and people that are babysitting you. You know, you are to obey them as long, of course, as what they are commanding is biblically right. Now, a child's respect or lack of respect in his home is going to reveal his or her nature. And if a child rebels against parental authority, now hear me now, this is huge. He's probably going to rebel against other authorities in his life. And he'll rebel, or she'll rebel against authorities at every level. There's a good chance of that. Now, if you notice here, in verse 2, it's going to quote the Old Testament law. Now, this Ephesians 6, verse 2, which says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first what? Now, speaking about the Ten Commandments, and I want us to go over, now hold your hand in Ephesians. Every time I pull you away from that, I want you to come back to Ephesians, okay? So don't lose your place. If you go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 20. Now, Ephesians chapter 20. I said Ephesians, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 20. Listen to what I mean, not what I say, okay? All right, so Exodus chapter 20. All right, now if you go to Exodus chapter 20, you'll see verse 12. This is that commandment. Can we read it out loud? Here it goes. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, you'll notice that it says that thy days may be long upon the land. Israel's, and we're talking about this nation of Israel in the Old Testament, Israel's stay in the land of Israel depended upon the maintaining of a proper attitude of obeying parents. That's amazing. That's incredible. God says if you want to stay in the land of Israel, children, obey your parents or honor your parents. And we'll talk about the difference of that in a little bit. When there is rebellion in the smallest unit of society, national consequences result. Now, this particular consequence has more to say to Israel as a nation than to us today, but it does reveal that a nation's stability is dependent upon the stability of the individual home. And when anarchy and chaos are the trademark of the family unit, society as a whole is on shaky ground. And you know what I'm talking about. All you have to say, what is going on in our country? Why the rebellion? Why the suicides? Why the destruction of property? Now, we see it on our television sets where maybe a sitcom portrays a parent as incompetent and out of touch, and the father is kind of witless and someone to be laughed at, and the young people are the smart alecks who can talk rings around their parents at the laughter of the audience. See, that's what our society does. They mock this commandment. And parents, if your child watches that stuff on the internet or on television or wherever, don't be surprised if your children do not follow suit. So I'm saying to you that this is something that is huge. And if we do not learn to obey at home as a child, it's going to have national consequences. Secondly, I want us to look at the meaning. Okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? All right, coming back to Ephesians and leave Exodus. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see this. And I'm going to turn you to Proverbs in a minute, so stay in Ephesians with me. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, what's the next word? Obey. Now, children, obey your parents. The word is a word which means, and I'm not going to try to get into the Greek, especially with children. All right? But the word means literally to hear under. Okay? To hear under. Or as Strong in his concordance puts it, to listen attentively. Listen very closely. Which implies a conforming to a command. So hearken to this. Listen. I was with a pastor friend a couple weeks ago, and he said, some of my greatest sermons get ruined by poor listening. And I thought, I can get that. You know, sometimes, you know, you preach, man, you really do, and somebody's looking at their phone. Or they're talking to their neighbor, or they're writing notes. They're not paying attention. Well, to obey your parents, the idea is to listen as somebody who has a role of obedience to somebody else, or the word subordinate, to listen as a subordinate. And you do not want young people to put your parents in a position where they have to force obedience. You see what I'm saying? I'm bigger than you. It's like one child was yelling at his parents. They were maybe 5 or 6, and they were demanding this to happen, and the mother said, well, what am I to do? And another child listening to that, so how big is that child anyway? Is that child so big that she's able or he's able to keep that parent from making commands? No, they are to listen as someone who isn't forced to do it, but are attentively listening to them. Now, I told you I'm going to take you to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to give you the sense of what we see here. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And it tells us in verse 1. Anybody know what the first word of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1? If you know it, raise your hand. Okay, very good. Some of you can turn your Bibles very quickly. The word is what? Hear. Now notice how the writer of Proverbs says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Listen to them. Hear, under. You see, if you look at chapter 5 and verse 1, my son, the writer of Proverbs says, attend unto wisdom and bow thine ear. Now, how do you bow your ear? You know, you do that, okay, get a concussion doing that. But no, you're paying close attention. That hurt, by the way, when I did that. Didn't mean to do it that hard. No, but think about that. You have to attend and bow. You know, we think of bowing the knee. Bow the ear to my understanding. Now, I told you I was going to quote Pastor Minnick. He, by the way, will be with us next year. He says this. There comes a time in every child, as he especially transitions to adulthood, when he begins to elevate himself in his own mind to the level of the parents. Now, Pastor Minnick says, mark that time because it will be your constant temptation to question nearly everything your parents say. As if you are an independent, when in fact, scripturally, you're a subordinate. You're not equal. You are to comply to their voices. Now, the psychology junk, and can I use that as a definition? That says, oh, you just got to be their best friends and hang out with them. And, well, yeah, we should be friends. But there is a sense, and I learned this as a teacher in Christian school that I taught. I had 120 students, different classes. And I learned that, you know, it doesn't pay off to just be their best buds. Sometimes that works until you are in a place where you have to make a command or demand. So Minnick says, when you get to the point where you think you're elevated to be their equal, and you take on an independent role instead of a subordinate role, he says, you've crossed the line when you are constantly being debating, arguing, expecting logical explanations why you should do this, and you're demanding your parents to prove their case. You dissect every word. You said this, and you said that. And you, when you do that, you are implying that you are failing to really hear your parents as an authority. And you are acting as an independent. All right? So, now you're in Proverbs. Look at chapter 3, and I want you to see this. My son. What's the next word? Good, you're very good. You're right there. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Wait a minute. Long as I go through the motions and say, okay, I made the bed. You said make the bed. I'll make the bed. So there. Wait, you didn't do that in your heart. You did that as, in a way, in an attitude of defiance. If you look at chapter 4 and verse 20, my son, attend to the words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of what? Thine heart. So this is the kind of hearing that is responding not just simply on the outside, but on the inside. It's an appeal to the heart. It's an appeal saying, you know, children, obey your parents. Listen to them. And don't make them have to force you to obey. Pay attention. They're your authority. Now, as a parent, you can, as we'll see next week, provoke your children to wrath. But, children, you need to be very, very careful that you, if you're a spirit-filled child, that you are submitting to the authority of your parents. Now, let's go back to Ephesians. Because you want that child, you want their heart. And that's the key thing here. You don't just want external evidences, you want their heart. Which, by the way, is why, as a parent, you want your children saved. Because there's the voice of God speaking to a saved child. All right? So Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 6. So we have children, obey your parents. But verse 2, what's the first word? Honor. Okay, so it's important that you understand that it's not just obeying, but really that includes honoring, or honoring includes obedience. Now, if you notice there in verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Now, this is a quote from the Ten Commandments. We've already taken you to Exodus chapter 20, and we saw that in verse 12. But it's also, the Ten Commandments are quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. And the Old Testament word, what does the word honor mean? Well, the word honor means to literally give weight to them. Take them very seriously. And if you honor someone, you understand that they are somebody that you look up to. See, the problem is sometimes children lose respect of their parents. And the scripture tells us that children are not to take their parents' authority lightly. And for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy 27:16, you can write this down, I'm not going to turn you there, but it says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. So, in other words, when you treat someone like, they're not important, no wonder you don't honor them, and no wonder you don't obey them, unless you're wanting something from them. So, it's a fascinating thing. You know, when I was growing up, there was a commercial. I don't even remember when this was. But it was a commercial about E.F. Hutton. Joe, you remember that? So when E.F. Hutton speaks, what do? Yeah, when E.F. Hutton speaks, you listen. They got into financial trouble, but that's another issue. But the fact is, if I am in a position of honor when I speak, then, boy, that really is going to say something. We had a fella in when I was in college. He was a professor named Dr. Stuart Custer. And I was going to a seminar of something, and there were some people saying, "Well, I think," and "I think," and then Dr. Custer stood up, and everybody goes, "Shh, Dr. Custer, Dr. Custer." What he was going to say was going to be worth listening to. Now, the interesting thing is, in the New Testament, the Greek word for honor means to value. So it's the same idea. How do children dishonor their parents? Well, the Bible gives us several ways. And I can only have time to read them to you. Number one, stubbornness. According to Deuteronomy 21, verse 20, the son who is stubborn and rebellious was to be dealt with. Number two, despising parents. We're told in Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. So in other words, because they don't honor them, they despise them. Number three, mocking. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth his mother. Number four, cursing your parents. We're told in Proverbs, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, and he that curseth his father and his mother. I remember one time I was visiting when I was back up in Michigan, and this child came out the door, and I can't remember all the details, but he started using profanity I hadn't heard much or a lot of toward his mother or his dad. I can't remember. Number five, hitting parents. It tells us in Exodus 21:15, he that smiteth his father or his mother. Number six, strife in the household. Talks about the father and the daughter rising up against the mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy shall be the men of his house. In other words, there's conflict all the time, and you're always causing conflict, 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 conflict. And it goes on and on and on. God says, don't do that. A spirit-filled child will not do that. Disobedience. 2 Timothy 3:2 talks about in the last days, men shall be disobedient to parents. And it's fascinating that that is included in some of the most wicked sins. Another way that children dishonor their parents is to not provide for their parents. Mark 7, verse 11, Jesus says, you use this little tradition called Corban, which means that if I dedicate this money to God, I don't have to take care of my parents. He said, you have disobeyed the commandment of God in order to build up your tradition. Well, what are some biblical examples of children honoring parents? Now, what does a spirit-filled child look like? Well, let me give you some names in the Bible. There was a man named Joseph. And Joseph, we're told in Genesis 47:12, nourished his father and his brethren. So here he was, an adult, back in Egypt, or in Egypt, took care of his parents or his dad. King David, it says that when he was a fugitive. He said to the king of Moab, by the way, he was of Moab background because you remember Ruth? And it says that he went to the king of Moab and said, let my father and my mother, pray thee, come forth. He was trying to protect his parents. What about Solomon? It's fascinating. Solomon's a very complicated individual. But we're told in 1 Kings 2:19, as an adult, when Bathsheba came to him, he bowed himself under her, sat down on his throne, caused a seat to be set next to the king, and she sat at his right hand. Elisha, it tells us in 1 Kings 19:20, before he followed Elijah, he said, I pray thee, let me kiss my father and my mother before I follow you. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Now, in Luke chapter 2, it tells us of a time when Jesus was only 12 years old. And when Jesus was 12 years old, we're told in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem. How many know this story? Okay. If we had time, I'd have you all tell me that story. But let me just tell you in brief, because some of you don't know the story. Jesus was 12 years old. His parents took him up to the Passover feast. And then when they left, they didn't realize Jesus was not in the midst of them. Where was Jesus? He was in the temple. And so his parents came back and said, son, where have you been? What are you doing? He said, don't you know I'd be about my father's business? He wasn't saying that disrespectfully. He just said, I mean, I thought you would know that. And if you look with me at Luke chapter 2, it tells us in verse 51, and he went down with them. And came to Nazareth and was what? Subject unto them. Sometimes a child will say, well, my parents don't know what they're doing. And I don't obey them because they give bad advice. They don't understand me. Question. Who had the better character? Jesus or his parents? His dad or his mom? Who had the best character? Jesus did. He was perfect. And yet we see the perfect, sinless Jesus submitting to imperfect parents. The book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. Now, Jesus is now an adult. He's on the cross. And why did he go to the cross? You tell me. To die for our sins. And if you do not know Christ as your Savior, let me just say to you, you are not going to have eternal life and have your sins forgiven by just being a good child or being a good person or by being a good this or good that or religious this, religious that. You're not going to have eternal life unless you ask Jesus to be your personal Savior. So the Bible tells us that Jesus is on the cross dying for your sin, dying for you. But he didn't forget his mom. In chapter 19 of John, his mother was at the cross with other ladies. In verse 26, here's Jesus suffering in agony and pain, saw his mother And the disciple whom Jesus, whom he loved, which would have been the Apostle John, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And verse 27, then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So Jesus submitted to his parents, to his mother, and honored her. And that's what it means to honor, obey, honor, respect them. I'm going to end my message, so I'll get to the third point next week. But I want to read something that I thought was very telling. Hudson Taylor, the great Chinese missionary, said this. He said, I have never known disobedience to a clear command of a parent to ever be blessed of God. Now, there is a sense in which sometimes you feel like you're doing the right thing. Now, it is not right to disobey your parents or dishonor your parents. Mark Minnick says this, quote, I want to solemnly warn you, children, that very seldom does anyone counter or go against authority of any kind in his life without running the risk of damaging himself. Even when we are in the right and our authority is wrong, it is almost impossible to go against that authority without damaging yourself. Now, when he's saying right or wrong, he's not talking about biblical issues, but maybe a parent makes a judgment call. In other words, it is important to submit to authorities. And that's what it means. Now, Ephesians 3, in chapter 6, verse 3 tells us, 2 and 3 tells us why. But we'll pick that up next week. So my question to you is this. What is your response to your parents? Children, they care for you more than anyone. Listen to them. Honor them. Now, Father, I pray that you would work in the hearts of our young people. Help them to see that they will do great damage to themselves if they take an attitude of independence. And I ask God that you would somehow use this message to help our children to be better children. And Lord, we know that this is impossible without your Spirit. And I ask God that you would just work in the lives of our families. And we thank you for it. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you this. Now, particularly children, let me ask you, are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? God wants to save you. Now, if you are saved, how you doing? Are you listening under? Are you paying attention to your parents? They're not perfect, but they're your parents. Now, maybe we have adults here that God spoke to your heart about your parents. Or maybe there's someone here that just needs to get things right with God. Because when we talk about submitting to authorities, the ultimate authority is God. And maybe you would say in your own heart, I'm not right with God. I have not dealt with God. And if God is dealing with you, and you need to get right with the Lord, you can do one or two things. You can say, no, I don't think so. Or you can say, yes, I'm going to submit to God. And the way that you respond to your parents many times could be the way you respond to God. Now, Lord, work in the hearts of our young people. Work in the hearts of those who are here. And help us, Lord, to listen to your voice. And we'll praise you for it. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. The pianist is going to play. And if God is dealing with your heart and you just want to come and kneel at the altar, or maybe you want to just kneel or bow in your seat. But if you would like to deal with the Lord, why not? If you're not saved, why not be saved? God is dealing with you. You come. Look this way. Thank you for your attention. Choir, we are meeting at 5 o'clock. And then in the evening service, come and hear Pastor Nathan. What psalm are you in? 78. All right. So you come and listen to God's word this evening. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this day. Lord, use us now and may you be honored in our lives. Guide and direct us. Strengthen us. To always do what you'd have us to do. But Lord, we need you and we need your spirit. Help us to surrender to your spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.